Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to yet another exciting edition of this week of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Felipe Donolfo, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Logi. Say hi, guys.
Yo.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Don't be a smartass, Chris. All right. But, yeah, tonight, good shalom to all of our Jewish listeners. This is the sixth night of Hanukkah for 2018. Hanukkah actually started Sunday and ends this coming Monday. So, you know, big ups to the Israelites, I guess. So I hope you're out there enjoying all of your delicious greasy latkes and donuts and Paschal lambs and, you know, delicious fresh salads. Just all kinds of tasty shit.
Yeah.
But for the rest of the Goyim world, it is actually the first show we have this month, December. It is now colder than a witch's tit where we live.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much universal for all four of us in varying degrees.
Yeah.
And of course, Phil living in Kanukistan ends up beating all of us.
Yep.
Right here, it's around 46. Over in Ohio, it's in the 20s. And for Phil, it's around 8. Just 8 degrees Celsius.
No, Fahrenheit.
Or Fahrenheit. I'm sorry, I can't math well. We mentioned last week that we kind of felt like that point we've all been finally waiting for when everything about the Trump administration, that revenge that we've been wanting to finally taste. Well, we finally got a taste of it last week, and this week we got a further bite. We'll tell you all about it because it's a little complicated, but rest assured, people are finally going to fucking jail.
Yeah.
Yep.
King Donald the Crazy is increasingly losing his shit too. Heather Heyer, her soul can finally rest easy because her killer has finally faced justice. Tumblr did something stupid. And if you're internet savvy like us, you already know what it is. We'll explain it. And then we got a bunch of NHL news that we're just going to let Pat take the reins for. And, of course, we got some science news. Soulja Boy has somehow still managed to exist, I guess. And of course, we got a bunch of movie and entertainment news, as always. And of course, you can have all that and more right here on this exciting episode of Let's Weekend. So, it's December 7th, finally holidays are coming around the corner. We're all doing shit. So, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
This week has been kind of eventful as I went ahead and reformatted my PC. Yeah, it was getting a little flaky and starting to do weird things, and it's like, yeah, you know, being able to save files is a function that would be very handy to be able to do. So, yeah, that would be one of the reasons I ended up reformatting, because it's like, yeah, it'd be nice to save the stuff that I write, really. Kind of help
yes,
that way.
Yes, I'm sure that would be nice.
Yeah. Reformatted, and I've just been going through and reinstalling all of my stuff. And forgot that I didn't back up the RetroArch folder, so that's...
Ooh.
Yeah, so I gotta reset that up again.
Oh. God, I felt a great pain in my balls just hearing that.
Yeah. Fortunately, I wasn't completely stupid and had my ROMs on another drive, so basically I lost a bunch of configuration and save files, so that's a little better,
well, depending
I guess,
on what those saves were, that could be painful enough.
Yeah, well, I didn't lose my Shining Force 3 save, because that's in another folder with another emulator. So,
good.
I'm okay there. But, yeah, part of this whole formatting coming about was that the version 20 of the Shining Force 3 translation patch came out, and I wasn't able to apply it, because I couldn't tell the patch where to save itself to.
Ugh.
So... Yeah, that was the thing. So hopefully I'll be able to get all of that sorted out in the next few days and stuff like that and just get it. Apart from that, I've been playing Tetris Effect still. Yeah, the ritual hasn't started yet, so I'll get in on that when it does. What else have I been doing there? Oh, yeah, just been, you know, meandering YouTube and seeing what the algorithm thinks I'm interested in. And it doesn't know me at all, really.
No, it really doesn't.
Yeah. For some reason, it thinks I want to watch, like, weird conspiracy theory videos. I don't know where that came from.
For some reason, everybody fucking gets that shit. Like, if you are mildly interested in politics, you're... Because I am absolutely convinced that these guys have gotten savvy and that they figured out to game the algorithm just so they can get as much exposure as possible.
Yeah.
Like, that's the same shit, like, I'll be over on the Young Turks watching a video, and then suddenly I'll get, like, fucking PragerU ads or something.
Yeah.
Or even worse, CRTV.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, so that's been interesting and entertaining for my week. I wish I had a little bit more to report, but I've just kind of been keeping busy getting all this stuff put back together, because you're never really done with a reformat, because you always find stuff that you forgot to install. So, yeah, you're kind of just always putting stuff back in.
All right, Pat, what about you?
Well, I did something stupid in the kitchen. Didn't really want to bother with putting the time into making those some of those muffin pan meals that I've been making of late.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, I just took pepperoni, olives, marinara, and mozzarella, and baked it all atop a 2-pound slab of sausage.
Well, that doesn't sound stupid at all.
Well, it didn't feel stupid going
in. His circulatory system may disagree with you there, Phil.
Yeah, my circulatory system and my digestive system were not fans.
Okay.
This occurred shortly after we did the show last week, and I'm still feeling the effects of it. So, yeah, that's a thing that happened. Other than that, you know, it is Friday now, and we all know what Friday was going into it.
Yeah.
Super Smash Brothers Ultimate is upon us.
Yeah.
And I am playing it as we speak.
Yeah. I want to play it so badly, but I'm saving it for Christmas. So
fortunately, that's not all that far away. So
no, it's actually, let's see. It is exactly a little over 2.5 weeks from now. Yeah, but yeah. So Phil, I mean not Phil, Pat. So far, how is it?
So far, it is Smash. I just started World of Light, and It is Smash Brothers. I mean, there's really no other way to describe it. If you've played it, you've played it. And there's really nothing so far that is causing this one to stand out. But
yeah,
that's because I'm still starting out with just the Smash 64 roster. Like, literally right now I am doing a one-on-one Kirby versus Mario. And
yeah,
so, I mean, that has literally been in every Smash game up to this point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At Green Greens. So if it gets throughout the course of the show, I will inform you.
Yeah. I am looking at the sort of list of reviews, and it's pretty much getting A+ across the board, pretty much.
Good.
I mean, I would hope so.
The soundtrack alone is worth that.
Oh yeah. All right, so, Chris, what about you?
Yeah, so this has been a hell week as far as weather's been concerned.
Yes.
Freezing cold and just snow all week.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, not that much to be an issue, but particularly yesterday driving home, people seem to have forgotten how to drive in weather. Going down a road on the highway that's, I think at the point I was at, this is about 55 normally. I was trying to get into the right lane because I was going to get off on an exit at some points, and they were going like 25.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's snowing, but it's all just water on the ground. It's the same as rain. What are you people doing? So I had to drive around them to find slightly less crazy people. Still had stops at times on the road where I was like, I have no idea what people are doing ahead of me. And those are the worst times, being on highways.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. As for other stuff, I went and watched a bunch of MST3K on Netflix. They have the new season of the new version that's mm-hmm. on there, which this season's called The Gauntlet, because the Mads have decided to give the crew like a 6-movie block of bad movies to, you know, try to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they probably intended to be binge watched, but I didn't really do it that way. Mm. But the first one, I've only heard of the first one of these, and it's for a reason it has nothing to do with anything good, I guess. It was Mac and Me.
Oh, God.
And I know that movie because of Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
He's on Conan all the time whenever he has a new film, and mm-hmm. he always pulls out one clip instead of the clip that's supposed to be showing. It's this clip from Mac and Me where the kid mm-hmm. goes rolling down the hill and into the water, and then the alien like pops out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always hilarious. I was like, oh, that's this movie, and the aliens are creepy as hell because they're nude and they have the dumbest faces ever. And they make fun of it. And it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. The second one is a movie called Atlantic Rim. You might be able to guess what movie it's ripping off.
Is this The Asylum?
I think it is. The
Sharknado, The Asylum.
Sharknado people. Hmm. And obviously it's bad. That's another good one that they spoof, because I don't know what the hell goes on in that movie. let's see, there's Lords of the Deep, I think it's called,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of an Abyss style movie from the 80s.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Surprise, it's also bad.
Mm-hmm.
Though it leads to them adding like a new, not about character, but have like a puppet on the show that's one of the monster that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
The Day Time Ended, I think is this one called. The titles are too long for them to show, but this one's a real shitty movie where I don't know what happens in it either. And then the last one, or no, The Killer Fish is number 5, mm-hmm. which is like a Piranha-style movie.
Mm-hmm.
With people who don't understand the concept of don't go in the water, because the fish will eat you.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow that's a huge thing, but they're on islands, I guess, so
yeah.
You know, there's a little bit of tension, but Jesus Christ, these people, the writing makes no sense. And the last one is a movie called Ator.
Ator, yep, I know that one.
And I don't really know what happened in that movie.
Ator is a really shitty rip-off of Conan the Barbarian.
Okay. Yeah, and it's like this baby that has a mark on him that signals mm-hmm. he's going to take down the evil guy. And he somehow gets it wiped off,
mm-hmm.
to hide him, and then gives him to another family. And then some dudes come and kills everybody else in the town.
Yep.
And then he gets trained by this weird guy to fight, and mm-hmm. the guy kills the big bad guy.
Yeah.
And that's the whole plot.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's that movie or the sequel where Ator actually, like, he beats the bad guys by flying over them with a 1980s vintage hang glider and dropping grenades.
No, there was nothing that interesting in this.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, there were spiders. That was the most interesting thing in there. There's a guy that had spiders crawling all over him. It's like,
yeah,
okay. I don't know that I want to see this, but okay.
Hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, that was pretty good. I also finished up The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which ended really well. Sets up a second season pretty well, and we'll have more news about that later on. Also watched the final episode of Patriot Act for this year, which was about immigration enforcement.
Hmm. Okay.
Which
and it sucked.
Oh, no. No, that was last week. This week was content moderation. Basically, Facebook. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
yeah, because basically about the notion that there's a difference between on the internet of publisher and platform. Mm-hmm. And Facebook, depending on what's going on, wants to be both. Mm-hmm. They want to be a publisher of information and have the right to you know, do what they want, but also wants to be a platform where they can take down the bad stuff. Hmm. But decides when to do that whenever they want, and it's really fucked up shit. And yeah, that's a really good episode. I think they ended on something else. I forget what it is, but they did another bit at the end. But yeah, it's a good show. I think they'll be back sometime early next year. But yeah, that's largely been my Netflixing this week.
All right.
As for games, I got my Flip Grip in, mm-hmm. which is the sort of like a attachment for the Switch, where you can essentially play games that offer Tate mode support. Be able to actually play it in a way that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So since you have the Switch in a vertical orientation, and you can plug in your Joy-Cons on the sides, be able to play it like a lot of these arcade games are intended to, which ended up with me playing Ikaruga. I have that on there, and I have Danmaku Unlimited 3,
okay.
which is one of those shooters where as long as you're not playing poorly, you can play forever.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which also means I still have it paused because it kept going. I was like, I don't want to intentionally die, but somehow I keep going, and there's constant explosions. There's a whole weird concept of like grazing the bullets that fills up this meter that causes more explosions.
And these
coins fall down at you, and then I don't know what goes on. But I've been shooting guys in that, so. It's a good shooter, and this flip grip works pretty well.
Mm.
The neat thing is it also has kind of a stand on it where you use like a credit card sort of thing. Plug it into the back, and it kind of stands up so you can play with like a pro controller if you want.
Mm.
But still have it in Tate mode. And yeah, this has been the most I've played my Switch outside of the dock in probably about like 18 months.
Hmm.
It's a pretty good accessory to have if you are into those styles of games. I think the SNK collection has a bunch of stuff that supports this.
Yep.
I forget what else does. Like a lot of the Arcade Archive stuff does, the Neo Geo stuff and all that. So yeah, there's quite a bit of content that supports this thing, and it's a pretty good accessory. I think it's probably about $15. It's not too bad.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I definitely recommend that. And as for game stuff, I've been actually kind of doing some work on my PS4 as I've been having issues with trophies. And sort of the way that I think it's like bugged out at some point. So occasionally when it goes to sort of load trophies as you start up games, it'll bug out and like kick you out of the game. So essentially what I had to do is delete my profile and sort of re-add it to the system to do like a fresh sync of all that stuff. The only problem with that is that along with that, you lose all your share stuff, your screenshots and videos. So I spent a lot of time exporting those to a USB stick and then putting them on my PC. So I have shitloads of screenshots that I've been taking on my PS4 for like the last 5 years. So I have way too many Donut County screenshots that I've been posting on Twitter. All the best BK lines that I can find. BK is the asshole raccoon that causes everybody's houses to sink into the underworld. And yeah, there's definitely some great stuff here. So I've just been looking at these screenshots, but I got a bunch of videos as well that I'm going to probably start putting up on my YouTube channel, just like random stuff, both to save some space, because it's a lot of space I'm using up for this stuff. I should probably look up how big my folder is. But yeah, it's a lot of stuff. But yeah, a lot of stuff I definitely want to sort of archive onto YouTube and keep that good for a while. Yeah, it's still going up. It's about 350 gigs.
Nice.
Folder. And that's not video for the most part.
It's a lot of screenshots.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's archives of the stuff I have on my Elgato.
Yeah.
I haven't deleted directly from that program yet. But for the most part, it's a lot of screenshots.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these are like 1080p screenshots.
Mm-hmm.
Which take up a good bit of room, depending on how many it took. But yeah, that's... and the only bad side is now all my games are out of folders. So now I have to redo all my folders again.
Yeah.
But they do a pretty good job of making it easier to add that stuff in. Because you can sort of click on the folder, manage it, and it'll show you like a whole list of all the games on your games and apps on your system.
Yeah.
You just be like, okay, this. My problem is I miss things, so I have to keep going back in. But other than that, that stuff's been working out pretty well for the most part, and the trophies all seem to be working. Finally getting trophies in the Persona 3 and 5 dancing games, because they weren't available pre-launch.
Yeah.
So now it's like, oh, go do the tutorials. Like, I don't really want to do the tutorials, because I already know how to play it now.
Yeah.
And I think it requires you to go through each little bit of it, which is like, hey, here's the notes. Here's how you click on the notes. It's like, I know this. And here's the double click notes. Here's the hold notes. Here's the one that requires you pushing two buttons. It's like, I don't want to do this all. But yeah, I'm going to be working on that review this weekend, put some more time into it.
Yeah.
Some of the best stuff in the at least Persona 3 one has some of these like group songs where like the first one you get, I think you have like most of the boys are in a playing like a rock band version of a song that's in that game. It's just a pretty cool visual versus just the normal dancing stuff. The second one I think is, I assume it's the intro video from Persona 3 Fest. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of just playing this weird kind of low-res version of the opening cutscene there. I like the attract video for that thing. And so it's like a little bit weird to be, you know, doing rhythm game stuff to that. But otherwise, that stuff is pretty cool when they do it, because it goes a little bit more in-depth than the regular dancing animations that you can't really even look at while you're playing anyway. Mm. But yeah, those games are good. I'm putting some more time into it, and I look forward to getting this review up this weekend.
Yeah.
And just all doing right. The whole game of the year, trying to figure out my whole list.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's pretty much it. How about you, Brandon?
All right. My primary gaming for this week has been Bayonetta 2, which I finished the other day. I just got to go back and play the original Bayonetta. Well, replay it. Because that game, let me just put it this way. Bayonetta 2 is both a sequel to and a prequel to the first Bayonetta. Okay. Which, you know, just... Yeah. It's Bayonetta. That's what you expect. But other than that, I have been playing Mutant Year Zero Exit to Eden, which is the strategy RPG that came out on, I think it was Tuesday? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Originally we were going to get a code for it. They ended up getting more requests than they had codes available, so I had to just buy it myself. But it was only $35, so I mean, it wasn't crazy expensive or anything.
Yeah.
But basically, it is a post-apocalyptic strategy RPG. People have been kind of comparing it to something like XCOM. Yeah. But, and, you know, in some instances, that is kind of an apt description because it's, you know, it's a strategy RPG. It has permadeath. You're constantly sort of at your wit's end trying to get resources and stuff. But the way it plays outside of, like, the main battle system is different because it's basically free roaming. You can you're basically can go to these little self-contained areas that are essentially, you know, free open world, sort of. And, like, your various enemies, you actually – so, like, unlike in, like, our other strategy RPGs, this game actually has a stealth mechanic. Because most of the world, the game itself, is essentially – because it's sort of a post-apocalyptic scenario, obviously, the world that you are in basically acts like it's sort of in eternal twilight. So a lot of your free roaming involves you have needing a flashlight. And with the flashlight, you know, you can get like a bigger sort of view of the world. It helps you like highlight collectibles and stuff. But if you hear any enemies nearby, you can turn the flashlight off and then go into stealth mode. And this can allow you to, you know, set up all of your party members so you can do a specific ambush. Or in some cases, you can just sneak right by them and not even have to fight them. And the two main characters are a walking pig and duck.
Okay, then.
Yeah, that's also that. But it's a lot of fun. It's both really dark and really funny at the same time because they don't recognize, like, you know, modern technological conveniences. So, like, they find an old iPod and they call it the fruit tester. they find something they call a boom boom, which is, you know, it's just a stereo system that hisses at you. Stuff like that, basically. They go into like what's a like used to be the ruins of like a children's playground, and it has one of those like small little Playmobil sets, you know, the ones that the plastic ones with like the little slide and the little house and everything for like preschoolers. And one of them remarks, "Is like, wow, the people who lived in this must have been really small." You know, that kind of thing. And of course, you've got your hub world, which is what they call the Ark, which is like the main civilization hub that you go into, where you can, like, you know, upgrade your gear and talk to people, get missions and stuff. So that's where I'm at in the game right now, and I gotta admit, it's really good. It is a small bit janky in places with the audio, but other than that, it's really good. So other than that, I am reading and writing, as always. I got this really cool science fiction book called Sisyphean, and it's written by this Japanese author by the name of Denpao Torishima. And his work is – the stories he writes – and he's also like a professional professional graphic artist, so he illustrates a lot of these. And it's basically stories that take place in a universe where life has evolved to the point where the human race really doesn't exist anymore, and most people are vaguely humanoid, like gelatinous bodies. And like they think like, you know, plants. And you know, like one of the first stories is about talking and decisions about between you know, these what they call two corporations, which is actually just two like amoeba-like bodies deciding amongst themselves and then deciding to share information by, you know, touching their tentacles with each other. It's that type of shit. And he illustrates every single one of them, so it is freaky as hell to look at. Other than that, obviously I am still sort of tinkering at my comic scenario I've talked about here and so on, hadn't made a whole lot of progress, but, you know, it is what it is. And finally, home renovations. Yeah, so I don't know if I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. We are renovating the kitchen in the house. Specifically, we're retiling it. And I don't know if you've ever had to deal with having stuff retiled in one of your homes, but if you understand.
Yeah, white dust everywhere.
White dust everywhere. Noise. Mm. Lots of noise. And we're also getting new cabinets as well. So we also had to, undo the stove. And, you know, basically what we've had to do is we've had to move all the kitchen stuff out of the kitchen and are temporarily, like, making a makeshift kitchen in the living room. So it is a pain in the ass, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
I swear, you know, the other day, it's just like hour on the hour, you're hearing cha-chunk, 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 like every 8 seconds. I'm going to hear that sound in my dreams for years and years to come. But, you know, Mom keeps telling me it's going to be worth it when it's all done. And I think she's a lying bitch, but that's just me.
Okay, then.
Yeah. But anyway, hopefully they'll have that done. I'm hoping they'll have it done before Christmas. But we'll see. Because we got the tiling we're going to use already selected and everything. Now it's just a matter of getting all this shit installed.
Yeah.
So, but anyway. So that's what I've been up this week. So we got anything we want to add before we move on?
No, I'm good.
You good?
Yeah.
All right, then. Well, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And continuing from last week's Random Factoid, where I described the water margin, I thought we'd discuss just a little bit about that other major piece of Chinese literature that has inspired every goddamn thing in Japanese pop culture for the last 100-some-odd years. The 14th-century historical novel by Luo Guangzhang, Romance of the Three Kingdoms. Now, I mentioned previously that Luo Guangzhang is sometimes considered to be the synonymous author of The Water Margin, a.k.a. Outlaws of the Marsh, a.k.a. All Men Are Brothers, a.k.a. blah, 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 blah. Well, this is the one we can specifically give him attribution to. He was believed to have been a court scholar. We know he was born in Taiwan, Taiwan. You know what I'm talking about. He lived sometime during the early Ming Dynasty. We know this because of some of the records that were kept, including some contemporary accounts by a playwright, Jia Zhongming, who was a contemporary of his sometime in 1364. It's also possible he may have been born in modern Shandong. But no one's really sure. He's still revered, of course, and has been for generations afterwards. The Luo family still exists, and they have a lot of prestige. It's no one's really sure when he may have died. Some people have said everywhere from 1400 to 1360, somewhere in between there. His collected books of what he's considered to have written include the Romance of the Three Kingdoms itself, The Three Sweet Quash the Demon's Revolt, which is an old, what they used to call a Shinmo story. Story, which is just old school stories about, you know, ghosts and demons that used to be a traditional thing in Chinese culture. He also wrote a bunch of historical treatises like The End of the Tang Dynasty and The Period of the Five Dynasties, The Chronicle of the Sui and Tang Dynasties, and like I mentioned previously, it's believed he was involved at least somewhat in the editing of The Water Margin. We're talking about Romance of the Three Kingdoms, the book that is most famously attributed to him. The stories that come from this book, much like which happens with the Water Origin are believed to have been collected from a number of oral storytellers throughout China throughout the years, and were essentially collected, assembled, and edited together into a proper narrative by Luo Guangzhang himself. Now, the stories start, and let's be honest, if you've played as many Dynasty Warrior games as I have, and I'm going to guess we've all played Dynasty Story Warriors every so often, you kind of know what the essential plot is, right? Yeah. It always starts, basically what we find out is that during the last days of the Han Empire, or at least what would, you know, before, you know, the China as we know it part, there was a group of court eunuchs who had amassed a lot of political power in themselves, and because of this, they had begun to run a corrupt regime throughout China. This all, of course, happened around the time of a lot of social upheaval amongst the peasant classes because of things like droughts and, you know, natural disasters and stuff. And if you know anything about classic Chinese culture, is that they have this idea called the Mandate of Heaven. It's kind of like similar to sort of like the Western concept of what we call divine right of kings, except for the Chinese, they believe that the mandate of heaven can in fact be lost, and that if the mandate of heaven is lost, then the people will have the right to overthrow that ruler and replace them with a just one. And so what ultimately happens is that all of this culminates into something called the Yellow Turban Rebellion, or the Yellow Turban Movement, or the Yellow Turban Uprising. And if you've played Dynasty Warriors, you know what this is. Basically, a guy by the name of Zhang Zhao, he ends up coming across some ancient Taoist text, and he basically becomes a sorcerer with his brothers, and they create this huge sort of kind of almost apocalyptic-like uprising that ends up going up and doing a hell of a lot of damage. Historically, the actual uprising was repressed in about a year, but it basically, it took, because there were still pockets of resistance, it took a total of like 20 plus years to finally do away with it. But what happens is, as this is happening, a bunch of different individuals essentially come up to decide to rise and restore order. Among these are, of course, Liu Bei, who was a direct lineage to the old Han dynasty. He, of course, came across these other two gentlemen, one of them named Guan Yu, who was this tall, ruddy gentleman with a large, you know, spear, a naginata, I believe is the popular term, and this really strong, robust dude named Zhang Fei, who was a pot-bellied, he'd also spear wielder who also happened to be super duper strong. So strong that apparently his want that if he shouted loud enough, he could actually cause 100 men to faint. Also, another individual is an individual by the name of Cao Cao, who, or as he's called in the Dynasty Warriors, Cao Cao. It's pronounced Cao Cao, but you know how it is with dubbing and shit.
That's the thing you know now.
Yeah, he had a son by the name that was named Cao Di, but because of the way it's spelled when it's written in English in the English alphabet, it comes out as Cao Pi. I'm gonna let that settle for a second. All right. So and then the one other person that comes about is a gentleman by the name of. And this one is actually the one I had to actually do a little research on because it's the one faction of the three that I have no idea about. And that is Cao Wei. Cao Wei was apparently was originally a vassal of what was Cao Wei, which was Cao Wei was actually the part that was originally ruled by Cao Cao. But then this group, the Eastern Wu, they then took themselves off and declared independence. And they were led by a guy named Sun Quan. And Sun Quad is essentially responsible for cleaning up a lot of the warlord factions that were in his general area, and then he formally declared independence sometime around 222 and became King of Wu. He was also the youngest of the eventual rulers of the Three Kingdoms, and he was probably the one who was most famously known as being mostly pragmatic. Now, of course, amongst all these characters, there's under individual characters. For example, after the Yellow Turban Rebellion is then quashed, it is then replaced by a tyrant by the name of Dong Zhuo. And this ultimately is what gets – it's this that finally sort of builds up what becomes the Three Kingdom. Once all these guys – once the emperor, the original emperor, is gone – a warlord named Dong Zhuo comes in, and he takes up sort of political power over the country. And he's an asshole. So all the major players in China rise up, and they overthrow him. But once this happens, none of them can agree on who is supposed to be on the throne, and so you end up having the three main kingdoms forming, all of them warring amongst themselves, trying to find out who should be the proper ruler of China. So now you've got three factions. You have the Shu Han, which is led by Liu Bei. You have the Cao Wei, which is led by Cao Cao. And you have the Eastern Wu, which is led by Sun Quan. You got all that?
Yep.
Complicated, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's why they have nine games.
Yeah. I mean, they all follow the same plot, but they all go about it differently. Ultimately, what ends up happening is that after it was all said and done, the Shu Han dynasty eventually won out. But by that time, you know, the war had gone on for so long that at that point, honestly, a lot of people had just kind of forgotten what they were fighting for. It's very much a story of how empires sort of wax and wane, you know, and how, you know, this sort of political stability is essentially a fleeting thing. Now, of course, amongst these three main factions, there are two individuals that stand out amongst these. One is a guy named Zhuge Liang. Zhuge Liang was the primary strategist for Liu Bei. And he was known to be for a number of different things. He is considered to have been the inventor. For one thing, he's considered to have invented several things. He's considered to have been the inventor of the repeating crossbow. He's also considered to have constructed a site near Baiqingding in modern Chongqing known as the Stone Sentinel Maze, which occasionally shows up in the Dynasty Warriors games. He also helped develop an early type of the air balloon, but he's also credited with the invention of Baozi, you know, steam dumplings.
Yeah.
The other guy that's often like a major figure in the Romance of the Three Kingdoms is a gentleman by the name of Lu Bu. Lu Bu was this enormous, like, Conan the Barbarian-type figure with known for having, like, these long strings of hair that he braided behind him. He fought with a spear. He was known to ride a fierce, bright red-colored steed. And he was also known to be something of an amoral, you know, lunatic who didn't really have any specific allegiances. His allegiances tended to change with whatever he considered would be beneficial for him. So
for himself.
Yeah. So, you know, at first he fought for, you know, the Shu Han, and then he went over for Cao Cao, and he kind of went back and forth between the two.
If you're a Bleach fan, think Zaraki Kenpachi.
Yep, that's Lu Bu. And ultimately, if you play the Dynasty Warriors and think that, man, I know this is supposed to be based on historic Chinese literature, but man, these characters act fucking ridiculous. Well, no, they didn't really change anything. This is actually how they're described in the book. They all act ridiculous.
So what you're basically saying is that different parts of China were run by crazy people.
Yeah, pretty much.
Chinese history was awesome.
Yeah, Chinese history is basically a... So if you've watched the history of the world, I guess, you know, that video on YouTube, and you know how China keeps constantly breaking apart and then getting back together and then breaking apart again? Well, it's true.
That's a thing that happens.
It just keeps – because it's always led by people who think they're destined by the gods or something. And it's usually caused by, you know, them having, like, you know, a massive famine every 20 so years or something. Which, you know, if you want to give the modern Chinese government at least one win, it's that they haven't had a famine in China since the 1960s, since the 1950s. So, but anyway.
Roundabouts.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was Romance of Three Kingdoms. I obviously just scratched the surface. The book and all of its related media is known for having hundreds upon hundreds of characters, none of which I could possibly keep, you know,
track of.
Yeah.
It's a fun rabbit hole to go down, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, for those who are wondering, this is also the era when Sun Tzu was around. He worked for those who don't know, Sun Tzu actually worked for Liu Bei. He was one of his military strategists. I think he was, or was he? I'm trying to remember what – let me see. Three Kingdoms, Sun Tzu. I want to see which faction he worked for. He worked for Eastern Wu, so he was working under Sun Quan. But he famously wrote his famous treatise, The Art of War, around this time period. But yeah, so that's Romance of the Three Kingdoms. Like I said, it is a very dense text, so if you're going to read it, go in knowing
don't
that...
Don't make any fucking plans.
No, because it will... And also remember the way it's written, too, because the way it's written is written very matter-of-factually. Like, if you actually try to read the English translation, you'll know what I mean when you give it a shot, but... Also, be careful because, the Anglicization of these names can sometimes change depending on who's doing the translation. Like I mentioned recently, you know, Cao having a son by the name of Cao Di, or I think it might have been Cao B. But because of the way it's anglicized, it looks like Cao P. Some translators work around that by redoing the lettering somewhat. Just, you know, your mileage may vary. And that has been another episode of Brandon's Random Factoid. Yeah. It is great shit. I do not lie. Yeah.
The strategy games are pretty great too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Romance of the Three Kingdoms. Yes, they are.
Point with that.
Oh yeah. All right. So now it's time to start the show proper. And as always, we start off with our assholes of the week. And our assholes this week are the GOP in both Wisconsin and Michigan.
I'll add Utah.
Because
that
now
list.
That they, you add who?
I'll add Utah to that list.
Yeah, because now that they realize how badly they lost, you know, at the ballot box, they're now acting like petulant children and are basically breaking their toys before they're forced to leave.
Yeah, so, basically, there's generally like an understanding like, oh, the outgoing group, you know, isn't passing major legislation.
Yeah, it's a lame duck session, as they call it.
These guys said, you know what, fuck that, we're going to try and tear it all down.
How's that going for them?
So far, they've succeeded. I'm actually surprised people haven't done this more often, because it's pretty much the reason this shit doesn't happen is purely because of decorum. But as we've shown with the Trump administration, they don't give two shits about decorum. So
no. That's why the House of Reps, the Judiciary Committee that's been doing the Russian investigation, they've started up a new thing where they want to have Comey in. Like, grill him over why there was no charges for the Hillary thing. And he knows it's complete bullshit and that they're going to be gotten rid of. So they're trying to do this now in their last couple weeks.
Yeah.
Like, that's happening today.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't heard any results from that yet, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, so this involves the Wisconsin legislature.
Mm-hmm.
That, let's see...
Basically, they're doing everything to strip as much power from the incoming governor and attorney general as possible. Yeah. Partly yeah. because they don't want to have their asses thrown in jail.
Yep. Yeah, so let's see. They're going to pass a raft of legislation designed to curtail authorities enjoyed by Walker and outgoing Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel. Let's see. Wisconsin now expected to reduce its number of early voting days, restrict mm-hmm. gubernatorial influence over a powerful economic agency ever sought to disband. Who's one of the, who's the, what, the new governor is coming in?
Mm-hmm.
And require legislative backing for certain decisions traditionally made by the attorney general and governor. A move that would block Call, who is the new attorney general, from pulling the state out of a federal lawsuit against Obamacare. The legislature will also be able to hire its own lawyers to defend state law in court, diminishing the attorney general's power. And, yeah, Evers basically called him out, said, Wisconsin's never seen anything like this. Power-hungry politicians rush through sweeping changes to our laws to expand their own power and override the will of the people of Wisconsin, who asked for change on November 6th. And yeah.
Now, if there is a smidgen of good news to this, is that apparently some of this stuff has been blocked by a federal judge, because it's pretty fucking obvious what they're trying to do here.
Yeah.
To anybody with a brain and eyes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not completely lost, but
yeah. In Michigan, what they did is essentially like a long con.
Mm-hmm.
So they passed a while ago, I think towards the end of summer, mm-hmm. Initiatives to increase the minimum wage and increase the required paid sick leave you would get from your employer.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say the minimum wage would be raised to $12 an hour by 2020, then indexed to cost of living increases. Also included a tipped minimum wage, which mm-hmm. Has been struck from the new bill. Non-tipped workers will only be guaranteed at $12 per hour minimum wage by 2030. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's essentially said, punted it down the line.
Yeah.
The sick leave original proposal would, let's see, give 1 hour of paid sick leave for every 30 hours worked from the start date, mm-hmm. with that capped at 72 hours a year. Mm-hmm. Under the new bill, workers only guaranteed 36 hours of all forms of paid leave.
Mm-hmm.
The bill also went from covering all Michiganders to excluding 55% of the state's workers. Yeah. As the guy they're talking to here, it's not really an earned sick time bill. It's a poor imitation of one. Mm. Yep. It's shit like this that further shows that Republicans aren't interested in order.
They're not really interested in governing, to be honest.
No, they want absolute power.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's taken away, they're kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
Wanting to do any damage they can on the way out to delay the next group's ability to do the things they want
to
do.
Yeah, to fix their fucking mess.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so did you also do Michigan?
Yeah, that's what I was just talking about.
Okay, yeah, sorry. I spaced out there a little bit. Yeah, I guess just from sheer despair. Let's just say that the human mind tends to reel at that much evil.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I guess we'll put Utah in there too. Pat, can you update us on that? Pat, if you're there, you might have muted yourself.
Yeah, I did mute myself.
Yep. All right, so can you give us a quick...
When chips are outlawed, only outlaws will have chips.
Yeah. But
anyway, so for Utah, Prop 2 they decided was negotiable. They held an emergency session of the state legislature, wrote what they called a compromise bill that basically neutered Prop 2 entirely.
Yep.
And Governor Herbert signed it into law.
Yeah.
So,
and to guess, those of you who are wondering, well, who did they have to compromise with? We'll take a wild guess.
The LDS Church.
The church, yep.
So, basically, the list of conditions that qualify for a cannabis card has been sorely cut. On the chopping block was chronic pain. Fuck you, Gary Herbert. That's me. So I wouldn't be able to get a card now. And they cut the list of dispensary licenses they'll be giving. They've cut the forms that you can the forms of cannabis that are legal under the law. You can't smoke it. It has to be in, I think, an oil form, a pill form, or squared off gummies. They can't actually be shaped like anything, which I thought was hilarious, but so Prop 2 has been effectively neutered, but West Wendover, Nevada has legalized it. So
yeah,
I think a lot of people are going to be taking that drive, I think 90 minutes from Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm. Either that or, they go down to that temple in Salt Lake and just start throwing rocks through the windows.
I would be completely on board with that.
Yeah. You know the one I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
The big Salt Lake City Temple. With the six towers. Yeah. Yeah. Well, just to send a message.
They have those all over the world. They're just vary in shapes and sizes.
Yeah. But the one we're specifically talking about is the one everybody recognizes. Yeah. And, that'd just be a good way of saying, hey, assholes, you can't subvert our democracy like that.
Yeah.
But
a more likely target would be the church headquarters, a stone's throw from there.
Yeah. Literally. But anyway, so now on to our hero of the week. And believe it or not, it's a person I frankly – I'll be honest. I don't like his movies at all. Not because of the content, but because he basically rushes these out like he's losing money, which – now that I think about it, probably goes a long way to explaining it. But anyway, this week, Tyler Perry came forward and he paid off over $340,000 worth of Walmart layaway bills.
That is a very Tyler Perry thing to do.
Yeah.
Yep. He did it in two Walmarts in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Just went in, paid off $432,635
mm-hmm.
Worth of layaway items. And just helping out people trying to make ends meet around Christmas time.
Yeah. Look, get me wrong. I've met the guy. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
I just think his movies are shit.
Sure.
But, yeah, he does, try to, give back to the community as much as he can.
Yep.
So, I will give him that. Now just start making better fucking movies. You can only remake Diary of an Angry Black Woman a few dozen times, and then finally that well's gonna run dry. Alright, so now it's time for the proper show proper. First story, Bush Sr. is worm food.
Yay!
Yep. Was he the oldest president, as far as, lived to be the oldest?
Wasn't it Ronald Reagan who did that? Who broke that particular record?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to say
it looks like Carter will.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter's a few months younger than him.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Bush Sr., he died at the age of, I think it was 95.
94.
94, yeah. Of course, he was vice president under Ronald Reagan. He was president afterwards.
I would say the most impressive thing about him is just his resume. He is one of the most qualified people to run the country.
Yeah, he was a World War II veteran. He worked for the CIA.
He was a senator.
Mm-hmm.
He basically
nobody is questioning his patriotism. I think we're questioning his humanity.
Yeah,
or his morals, for that matter.
That staged drug sale thing.
The Iran Contra.
Well, that we bought this. This bit of these drugs out in front of the White House.
Yeah, they tried to like stage a drug bust or something like that. There was also what happened when American, I think it was a cruiser shot down, airline, and he seemed to not give two shits about it, even though it killed like 100 and something people, including 60 plus children. And then of course there's, all the bullshit that he pulled just so that we could get into Iraq the first go around to get rid of Saddam. Let's see what else. He's pretty much one of the people responsible for why so many people died of AIDS in the 1980s, because he and Ronald Reagan both refused to take it seriously.
It was a bit of irony that he died on World AIDS Day.
Yep. Apparently God does have a sense of humor. Yeah, so look, there is a lot of reasons not to like him. And frankly, the way that the media is trying to build up his cult of personality is frankly sickening. To sort of just pave over all the awful shit that he did while he was in office just because he isn't Donald Trump. And of course they're now lavishly putting praise on Trump's predecessor, W. Because, he gave Michelle Obama a piece of candy. No. Okay. The 2007 and 2008 recession happened because of that douchebag. And that's on top of all the other awful shit he did.
Yeah.
But no. So, yeah. Like I said on Facebook, it's usually decorum to not speak ill of the dead, to only say good things. So I'll say this. George H.W. Bush is now dead. And that's a good thing. Fuck you. And what I've noticed is that seems to be kind of the consensus online too.
Yep.
Like most people aren't falling for it.
Yeah.
And of course the media completely ignores that part. So.
Yeah, they tend.
It doesn't fit their narrative. Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I basically celebrate by looking up Dana Carvey clips on SNL's YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which was all really good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All right,
especially when they brought Dan Quayle out.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a teenage kid. Somebody's teenage kid, I assume.
Oh, well, yeah. We forgot.
Joke, always typecast Quayle as a fetus.
Yeah. Or an idiot. In which he was both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dan Quayle is. Oh, by the way, we also got to remember the other major bullshit thing that the Bush and Quayle did during the election after Reagan's second term. The guy who was the head of, who was like the main propaganda guy for the GOP around that time, you may have heard of him. He was a guy by the name of Lee Atwater.
Yep.
And Atwater is infamous for creating the Willie Horton ad. That was during the Bush-Dukakis race, and it is the reason Dukakis lost it. Well, that and that stupid photo op he did in the tank, but that's another thing. He was, literally that particular ad is specifically, because at that point, up until that point, Bush was losing to Dukakis by 20 points. So, yeah. Going on, now it's time for the Mueller Hour. The Mueller Minute. All right, so first and foremost, Mueller's filing on Mike Flynn has come out, mostly redacted. But it recommends that he gets no prison time, and it's due to the fact that apparently Mike Flynn has substantial amounts of material to the Mueller people.
He's like the one person that's not a complete idiot.
Yeah.
It seems to also send a message of, hey, if you actually work with us, you might get little to no prison time.
Yeah.
Instead of believing,
he doesn't want
continuing to work with the Trump administration to undermine the investigation,
mm-hmm.
potentially severely add to the time you're going to serve.
Yep.
Does anybody here actually believe that Trump is not a complete crook at this point?
No.
Oh, I mean, that's always been, like, I mean, that's just people know it. Like, I mean, people knew it back in the he's been doing that shit since the 70s.
Yeah, knowing it, but now it's, they actually have to prove it.
Yeah.
That's what Mueller is currently endeavoring to do.
Yeah. And on that note, we've also got filings that he put out on Cohen and Manafort, Michael Cohen and Paul Manafort.
Is going to get his anus gauged.
Oh, yes. Cohen has apparently been recommended getting substantial amounts of jail time for his crimes. And as for Manafort, well, he's already rotting in club fed. Maybe they'll actually bump him back down to ass raping prison. But
yeah, for Manafort's, memo basically said he lied on 5 major issues.
Yeah.
During his cooperation, including contact with administration officials.
Mm-hmm.
But most of that is redacted.
Yeah.
But yeah, they also said he lied about his interactions with Konstantin Kilimnik.
Russian associates
who Mueller alleged has ties to the Russian military intelligence unit, accused of hacking the Democrats, and how they may have worked together to tamper with witnesses following Manafort's arrest last year.
Mm-hmm.
As for Cohen, his is, let's see, revealed that a Russian national who claimed to be well-connected in Moscow spoke with former Trump attorney Michael Cohen in 2015 and offered, quote, political synergy with the Trump campaign. Cohen spoke with the Russian national in November 2015, around the same time he was working on separate efforts to land a lucrative real estate deal for the Trump organization in Moscow. The Russian is not named in court filings. Footnote makes clear the individual is not Felix Sater and was separate from the project Sater and Cohen were working on. The Russian national claimed to be a trusted person in the Russian Federation who could offer the campaign political synergy and, quote, synergy on a government level.
Yeah, these guys are
sleazy.
Oh,
Cohen is the definition of a sleazy lawyer.
Yeah, you know he was called Trump's fixer for a reason. But yeah, I'm going to be honest at this point. Even if they don't show that they actively colluded with Russia to, you know, win the campaign, to win the election, God, they have amounted so much shit at this point that there's no way any of these people are going to get out of this shit scot-free.
Mm-hmm.
God. So, yeah, if you've been – that's one of those things where, like, you've just been wanting to savor more of the vengeance, and we're probably going to get some more vengeance next week.
Mm-hmm.
Next up on the good news list, the man who murdered Heather Heyer and injured a bunch of other people – in Charlottesville, James Alex Fields, with his car during the white nationalist rally, has been found guilty of first-degree murder.
That's especially a bad thing in that state, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. He was also charged with 30 federal hate crimes as well. And yes, Virginia does have the death penalty, so...
Yep.
They could totally go for it.
Stick him. Get him off my planet.
And the man showed absolutely no fucking remorse about it either. Because they show texts that he sent to his mom, and his mom's daughter's like, you know, a mother just lost her daughter. And he said, I don't fucking care. She's a communist, you know.
That's what we're dealing with.
Yeah. That's the type of asshole we're talking about here. I'm glad that it's happened. It's not going to bring her back, but, you know, some justice is going to be served, and it's going to be a message to all the other Nazi shitheels who think that they can somehow do this shit and, you know, get away with it. Yeah. You're not. The law is not on your side. They will fucking you will face the fucking consequences for this shit, and I hope it keeps you up at night. Because that's especially what you're going to see when you go on fucking Reddit, because goddamn, they are whining like little shits.
He was what protecting himself.
He was in a car. How the fuck could he have been protecting himself? Yeah. Oh, what a bunch of dipshits. All right. So, next story. Over in Arkansas, there was a high school newspaper. Did you guys have a school paper?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't really give a fuck at the time.
Yeah. I don't think... I think we had, like, a newsletter, but it didn't come out weekly. It was, like, every... It was a quarterly type thing. So, this was it was a school district in Arkansas in Springdale, which is a small city in northwest Arkansas. The high school paper decided to do some actual investigative journalism. And so they did an investigation on the school's football program, especially what seemed to be some questionable transfers. And because of their due diligence and, you know, actual work going towards, you know, generalism and showing a good career in that field, they were suspended by the district.
I'm guessing the story isn't over.
No, it's
not.
National, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So their attempt to silence these kids went the exact opposite, which is always a good way for it to go.
Yeah.
And I believe the person that was doing this was also threatening the teacher that is in charge of the news group. You know, always good stuff to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And shows why the First Amendment is a necessary thing.
Mm-hmm. It looks like here, if you look in the comments for the BuzzFeed, one of the guys who apparently works for the NBC station in Atlanta is actually wanting to publish this story because, you know, they think they did real good work.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
You know, these kids have jobs lined up.
Yeah. Oh, and they've probably got a movie deal too. Because, I mean, fuck, wouldn't you make a movie out of this? But yeah. So if you get a chance, go in there and read that. It is pretty amazing. All right, and now for the Tumblr story we all getting ready for. As of December 17th, Tumblr has declared that they are going to be purging all not safe for work material on their website, which is officially the day that Tumblr will die.
Well, it's already
died. That's pretty much all there is.
The evacuation was swift and sure.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, Chris?
Yeah, so, interesting thing I saw in all this is that actual drawn nudity art is all fine. It's the actual pictures. Which is an interesting way of, I guess, like the wrinkle to what they're all doing here. Because Tumblr has a huge audience of, you know, LGBTQ people, those that, you know, aren't well served, you know, other places on the internet, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, all that stuff. And yeah, they're basically saying, you know what? We care more about the reputation of the, not about the site, but like the reputation of the platform, I guess. And sort of trying
to clean
their image.
That now.
Yeah. And yeah, they've been, I guess, setting up an algorithm that automatically flags adult content, which, as you might expect, got a lot of false flags.
Oh, yeah. A lot of perfectly serviceable and regular safe-for-work websites ended up getting purged.
Including their own post about it.
Yep. That also happened.
You know your filter doesn't work.
Yeah. But,
and I guess they're putting this in place on December 17th.
Mm-hmm.
So in about another week and a half for people to potentially get them to stop.
Yeah. I mean, they've still got 10 days before the policy actually happens, so...
I guess it's all related to the iOS app.
Mm-hmm.
Because... got removed from the iOS App Store. due to, I guess, a child pornography incident.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we're just going to get rid of all of it.
Yeah. What I'm also thinking is that Tumblr specifically.
Example of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I can't even put it into words.
And also,
I'm gonna be honest, once
go use the web browser.
Yeah. Also, I'm going to be honest. I think what part of the reason they're doing all of this is specifically because they. It's partly, I think, what goes into the decision is, much like Pat said, Tumblr was kind of already going down the tubes, and I think the people at the top are sort of positioning it so that they can get bought out at some point, you know, and this gives them a good reason to sort of set the stage for that.
Yeah. I mean, I'll point out that Tumblr is owned by Yahoo, which is owned by Verizon now at this point.
Yep.
That company isn't exactly doing great. Well, mm-hmm. Verizon's not going anywhere, but they're, I guess they want to just clean up their investments as best they can.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Seriously, just, well, I mean, if anything, it just, you know, Twitter allows adult stuff, so.
And, you know, DeviantArt, that's delicious. Mm-hmm.
And Pixiv.
Yeah, I saw a webcomic on Facebook yesterday that was showed a physical embodiment of Tumblr running over to Twitter and saying, quick, hide my porn.
Mm-hmm.
Accurate.
That's a lot of stuff to hide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, well. All right, next story. Seattle's going official. It'll host the National Hockey League's 32nd franchise. Matt, take it away.
Yeah, no name yet, but there's a huge push for the Seattle Kraken, which I'm completely on board with. They will commence play in the 2021-2022 season, and let me tell you why that's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
First off, the Key Arena renovation will be done sometime in November of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they could theoretically kick off the franchise with a six-week road trip and then bring it home for a condensed home schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I think fans would be really cool with it. Another thing, that the Vegas Golden Knights are going to have draft immunity no matter when Seattle starts play. Now, this is ordinarily to protect expansion teams from other expansion teams. Vegas will be going into its fifth season when Seattle drops the puck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's okay to let Seattle take a guy at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously you didn't want to let the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Minnesota Wild roll the Nashville Predators when they entered the league,
because
that was only 2 years removed from their own addition. But I think 5 years is a pretty safe timetable, especially with a franchise that is already doing completely fine for itself. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Bruckheimer is part of the ownership group, and that's not bullshit about that. He's had an interest in being an NHL owner for quite some time. He was part of a losing bid in Vegas before Bill Foley's group won. So he's going to be part of the ownership group here, which is fine. I think he'll be a very good NHL owner. As far as the alignment goes, they're going to be nudging the Arizona Coyotes over into the Central Division in 2021 to realign the league.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your those are your basic details at this point. Obviously, as more stuff becomes known, I'll be bringing it up here on the show. But this is a team that we're damn near 3 years away from seeing take the ice. So it's going to be a drizzle, not a torrent. So, but I'm completely okay with it. Seattle is going to be a fantastic hockey city. They've had the NHL before, way, way back in the day. A Seattle team has won the Stanley Cup, the Seattle Metropolitans, if you want to do a little bit of Wikipedia digging. But, yeah, I just think it's a little strange that they're making the announcement now, even though they're not going to be getting play for nearly 3 years, when I really think they could go ahead with the 2020 push, which the Seattle ownership wanted. Let's establish that. They actually at one point had a flag for their bid hanging atop the Space Needle that said 2020 on it. So this is a change of plans. But this is good news. The game is growing, the league is growing, and I'm just really happy to see it.
Yep. All righty. Awesome.
I want to say I saw that Quebec is pissed because they were hoping to get that slot.
They were, but they didn't stand a chance in hell of getting it.
Yeah.
The reason being, whatever happened, the 32nd team had to come out of the Western Conference. There was just no changing that. Whether you were just straight up dropping a team in the Central Division or moving Arizona over and putting a team in the Pacific, which is what we ended up doing, it had to be the Western Conference. Now, I think Quebec is going to get a franchise sooner than later, either through relocation or another round of expansion. Mm-hmm. I think the NHL's next wave of expansion is coming sooner than we think, and it's going to be a lot more avant-garde than anything we've seen since the 70s or since the 60s.
Mm.
I think we're going to see a four-team expansion over a single season, and it's going to drop a new team in every division. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't have any legitimate basis to say that on. Just the way the league is talking, they don't want to stop with Seattle. And I don't think having a lopsided league is going to be something they want to go back to now that they've got equilibrium. So I think the best way to solve this is to drop four new teams all at once. And if I had to guess, I would say Hamilton, Quebec, Houston, and Portland.
All right.
But we'll see.
Okay.
Right now I'm just spitballing.
Mm. Yeah. Well, honestly, I'm not a hockey guy or really a sports guy at all. The last hockey story I really cared anything about was Gritty. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I know. Yeah. Well, let's sit you down one of these nights, let you catch a Flyers game and see what you think.
Yeah. My father was a mascot for I Am Gritty's son. But for those of you who don't know, Gritty has basically been embraced by Left Book because they needed something to combat Pepe the Frog, and they found him. And it works.
Yeah, the Muppet Nightmare.
But it is the most belligerently Philadelphia thing ever.
Yeah.
If we're being honest.
The only thing that can make it more is if he was throwing batteries at people's heads. But alright, so alright, now for the
they don't like what they're doing, they're just going to do it louder.
Yeah.
That's Gritty in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you want a funny Gritty video, look up when they got their first snow in Philly. He's dancing around in the parking lot looking at the snow with those big fucking eyes. It's like, oh, this is snow? I think the tweet was like, there's ice shavings falling from the sky.
All right, now for the science portion of the program. First things first, a group of spelunkers have found a new cave in British Columbia. And after some looking, it looks like this might actually be the largest cave ever found in Canada.
Yep, and you can tell that it's nerds found it because it's being nicknamed Sarlacc's Pit.
God damn it.
Of course.
It's in the Wells Gray Provincial Park. It is, let's see, where's the size here? It's about 100 meters long, 60 meters wide. And the depth is hard to measure. But they think it is at least 135 meters deep.
Mm. That is a big-ass cave.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It says about the size of a soccer field. So you think of a soccer field and you put that soccer field on its end. So you have this pit going down. Think about this giant circular oval hole that just goes down and down and down. It's truly amazing. Yep. Yeah, they named it the Sarlacc's Pit. Has a similarity to the lair of the Sarlacc, a creature from Star Wars Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
The formal naming of the cave will happen after consultations with First Nations. And yeah, it was formed underneath glaciers for potentially tens of thousands of years. So there's no way of knowing the real age of the cave right away. So they're just going to be doing lots of tests and sort of, let's see. Yeah, further investigation and research of the cave and its unique geography will likely be carried out in 2020, depending on funding. So it's going to be some work going in to find out more about this cave.
All right. Yeah, fucking nerds, I swear. All right. And then we got another one. A spacecraft from NASA recently managed to reach an asteroid, an old, ancient asteroid, and they've actually going to collect some samples for study. So,
yep, that's neat. It is called OSIRIS-REx, which is Origins Spectral Interpretation Resource Identification Security Regolith Explorer.
Yeah, you guys are getting way too fucking happy with the goddamn acronyms here.
I mean, we really had to stretch for that one.
Yeah, but it's also NASA. They're not going all out on names. What the fuck are they doing?
They have to be extra.
And the asteroid is called Bennu, B-E-N-N-U. It reached it on Monday, and they're going to spend about a year surveying it with the five scientific instruments that the spacecraft has, and try to figure out the best location that is safe and scientifically interesting to collect the sample. It'll return to Earth by about September 2023. And yeah, they got some nice GIFs here, sort of showing the asteroid, and the other one shows sort of the approach as it got closer.
Yep. Yeah. So, all right. So then, because we now have the InSight lander that's now landed on Mars, they got an audio device on there that's actually going to allow us to hear the Martian winds.
Yeah, and definitely watch this video with headphones on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they do some cool stuff, sort of showing it to you. Like the first one, I think the pitch is pretty low, so you might not be able to hear it if your headphones or if you're able to watch it on your TV if your like subwoofers aren't great. But then they pitch it up for you, so you can actually hear it. And, it's a really cool thing they were able to get. Let's see. The sensors captured a haunting low rumble caused by vibrations from the wind. Estimated to be blowing between 10 to 15 miles per hour. And yeah, they say it was like an unplanned treat. But yeah, they got two very sensitive sensors on the spacecraft, detected these wind vibrations and air pressure sensor inside the lander, and a seismometer sitting on the lander's deck, waiting deployment by the InSight's robotic arm. Two instruments recorded the wind noise in different ways. The air pressure sensor, part of the auxiliary payload sensor system, which will collect meteorological data, recorded these air vibrations directly. Seismometer recorded lander vibrations caused by the wind moving over the spacecraft's solar panels, which are each 7 feet in diameter and sticking out from the sides of the lander like a giant pair of ears. And yeah, so definitely watch the YouTube video they have up if you can.
All right.
Martian ASMR.
Yep. All right. And now for the entertainment part of the show. And first and foremost, I cannot believe he's still around, but Soulja Boy, he's got an announcement. He is getting into the gaming hardware business.
Yep. By basically repurposing this company's emulation boxes.
Okay.
With the Soulja Boy name on it.
Yeah.
I think it's called the Soulja Game Console and the Soulja Game Handheld, both of which are $200 MSRP. I think the console's on sale for $150 and the handheld for $100. The crazy thing is all the images for each device that's seems to just be outright lying about what they can do. The console has images. I'm trying to look up here. It says it can do 4K, Ultra HD 4K. Yeah, it supports 4K HDMI AV outs, gaming. Also supports 720p 60 hertz. It says game speed, FPS 1-to-1 output, perfect and fluent, Linux 3.0 OS, pre-installed 800 classic games. And mm-hmm. the image they have there on the TV is one of the recent Lara Croft games.
Which you are not going to be playing on this
thing. No. Nope.
The controller is basically a DualShock 3, a wired DualShock mm-hmm. 3, but with ABXY face buttons.
Yep.
The select and start buttons are exactly the same. Also with that little button that was on the middle of the PS2 controllers for the analog.
Yeah.
The image of the controller is basically the DualShock 2. Two controllers from the looks of it. Yeah, the box is pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
The other image, let's see, Linux 3.0 OS, pre-installed inner classic games, supports PS1 plus arcade game, CPS1, CPS2, Neo Geo plus GBA, SFC plus Sega plus NES plus GBC plus GB plus GG plus SMS game series. Ultra large capacity, supports TF card max to 32 gigabit. Also the picture of Jin Kazama.
Because
I guess that's a PS1 game.
Yeah, I have a feeling this thing will probably run PS1 games better than the classic
does. It will have that to...
The interesting thing is there's the details on this page.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, size 20 by 16 by 4 centimeter TV game console.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird way to put that stuff. Material, SG video game console. It's not a material.
That's not a material, no.
Yep.
Type for Soldier Game / PS / Neo Geo / PC / Sega / GBA / NES video games.
So what the fuck is Soldier Games?
That's the name of his company, essentially.
Compatibilities, so...
Yeah,
I think the company that made these is called Abernum.
Mm-hmm.
Abernick,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I assume they're a Chinese company.
Yeah, you can find these the exact same machines on AliExpress, and I actually went and looked at the Abernick ones that these are based on.
Yeah.
Yeah, pricing is not all that different, to be honest.
Yeah.
And the shipping to get one here to Canada was $107.
What the fuck?
So I look at Soldier Game, and he's offering like a very reasonable shipping rate. I'm like, you know... That's not such a huge scam, apart mm-hmm. from the fact that it's a huge scam.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, for U.S., look at the Alibaba page for the console. It's $40.50.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna buy this, you're buying this because you particularly like Soulja Boy and you just want to throw up some money. I don't know who these people are.
Yeah.
They really exist.
Yeah. I love the handhelds page here. Color, it says black console. All the images are white consoles.
No, the other black.
Yeah. As two times it says the screen size is 3 inches on here. Material is also a Soldier Game video game console, mm-hmm. which is not material still. But it has 3,000 built-in games. I can connect.
Lots of NES games.
Supports converting to TV. Doesn't say connecting.
Converting.
Game speed is 1-to-1 outputs. Supports RM, RMVB, AVI, MKV, ECT.
Some kind.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there's backlight, USB, AV outs, TF card slot, hand rope hole, resets. Also, you have to press start and select to bring up the menu.
So
one of those kinds of devices.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of video reviews of some of these. Some of them are hit and miss. These ones in particular are actually not that bad as far as their emulation goes. So
yeah.
If you want one, go ahead.
But you can also get like a Soldier Watch for $20. Mm. It's on sale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's Soldier Boy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did we play Braid? That's the question.
Well. All right, next up, we got some news from Funimation and Hulu. They have signed a first look deal for a distribution of new titles that are going to be starting in next year.
Yep. Which, if you got in on that Black Friday deal for $1 subscription for a year, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, so they've moved on from Crunchyroll and signed, seems like a good deal with Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
As Hulu sort of beefs up their anime presence, much like Netflix has done.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And their original stuff, too.
Yeah. Yeah, Hulu's plan is to get more than 20 seasons per year of new Japanese anime series, simulcast, plus dub versions. And, yeah.
Not actually, people.
That's, been mm-hmm. that's what they've been doing lately.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, so, let's see. Next we got... Oh, yeah. Remember those Resident Evil movies?
Yeah. I try to forget them.
Yeah, we all try to. Well, they're getting ready to reboot the film part of the franchise, and we now got a director and a writer for it.
Yeah, it is the director of 47 Meters Down, Johannes Roberts.
That means absolutely nothing to me.
Yeah, I never heard of him, but I've seen people say he's pretty good.
Yeah.
The writer, where is the writer at? I guess he is writing and directing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Hooray.
Probably a lot cheaper to make than the originals were. Because mm-hmm. he's not a big name, or at least a moderately big name.
Yeah. Plus, I think after the last couple of Resident Evil movies, I don't think they could actually do any worse. So
maybe a lower budget could get it closer to the source material.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even with the quality, the original franchise of movies earned $1.2 billion total worldwide.
Got big name recognition.
Mm-hmm. They seem to keep doing better with each one. And they ended up with like a 3D one was like the final one.
Mm-hmm.
So just give you an idea of how long ago that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they only did two. Fuck off.
Yeah. But, all right. Next. Ice Cube. Yeah. Oh, Ice Cube.
He's still around, too.
Yeah, he's still around. Although he's probably earned it more than Soulja Boy has.
Yeah.
He's working with MTV Studios because they're getting ready to reboot one of my favorite things from my childhood, Celebrity Deathmatch. Do we all remember Celebrity Deathmatch?
Yep.
Oh, yes. The claymation show where celebrity sculptures beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
And it's normally...
a video game about it.
Yeah. Basically, they would just... It was notoriously gruesome and apparently legitimately offended people. Some people, including the celebrities that were skewered.
Yep.
All in all, it was really good.
Yeah. Though I imagine going back to it probably wouldn't hold up that well.
Yeah. Well, it's getting ready to reboot it.
Yeah. So, they could probably do that stuff a lot cheaper and easier now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
don't even need to do clay anymore. They can just
CG the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it seems like they're going to shop it as a weekly series to premium and streaming networks for next year. So we'll find out who picks it up. I'm going to guess it's going to be Netflix.
Yeah.
Netflix or Amazon.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be Netflix. But yeah, can you think of any particular matches you'd like to see?
Oh, yeah.
Something like, I would assume
Trump and Hillary.
Probably.
That'll be the pilot.
That's the obvious one. I think Trump and Obama would be the better one.
Yeah. Something like, Elon Musk versus Mark Zuckerberg.
Jeff Bezos, triple threat match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Matt Groening versus Walt Disney, something like that.
Yeah.
And the fun thing about that was because all they'd have to do is, you know, reanimate Walt Disney's frozen head and stick it on a robot.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was a match in the original show of Walt Disney as a robot.
No, but I do remember one where it was, I think it was NSYNC against the Beastie Boys. And they both fought in giant robots.
Yeah.
Beastie Boys won. Yeah. anyway.
I mean, they knew how to use theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next up, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. That show's been doing pretty well. It's going to be continuing with part two starting on April of next year, April the 5th.
Yep. Excited for this. Nice to know that they
also settled their suit with the Satanic Church.
Satanic Temple. Yeah.
Yep. So they got a nice little teaser trailer for the second season.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be exciting to see that when it's finally out. So I think they're going to have a Christmas special coming out pretty soon.
Yeah. All right. And, we also got a new trailer from Captain Marvel to better explain why she punched an old woman.
For the people that didn't already know what the Skrull were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's doing some crazy acrobatics in this version of the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They also show off a bit more about her past.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, she was kind of kidnapped and used for this program.
Mm-hmm.
To essentially create like a galactic defender kind of person. So she gets back to Earth and is like, I used to be somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I was all caught up in that. And then there's a cat that Sam Jackson is fascinated by.
There's a cat.
Yeah. I think it's an actual character from the comics, but I'm not 100% sure who. But yeah, that's looking good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Disney Marvel, so
yeah.
Yeah. They've been firing on.
Yeah.
That Ant-Man movie was not great. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't up to par with the same.
Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be out March.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Not a summer movie, which is weird.
Well, I think it's also leading into the movie that comes out directly after it.
Which also we're going to get to in a second. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before that, we also got a new trailer for this week for Welcome to Marwen, which is the upcoming Steve Carell vehicle. For those of you who don't know, I talked about the subject of this particular movie way back on an earlier Random Factoid, a gentleman by the name of Mark Hogenkamp. He was a Navy veteran who was beaten very severely outside of a bar in the year 2000. He was in a coma for about 9 months and came out of it. He had to basically re-remember how to walk, how to write his name, how to write in general. And then his insurance ran out, and so he was kicked out. And so in order to sort of both as therapy for him as well as to figure out to remake a past for himself, because he had no idea of what his past was, he started using action figures and stuff and created a little fictional town called Marwinkle. And as the story goes, some guy who was a professional publisher or like an art gallery owner was at a local tavern, and he saw Mark Hogenkamp sort of pulling one of his jeeps down the road so that he could, simulate, wear and tear on it. And he got in contact with Mark, and Mark took a bunch of photographs, and they were so good they ended up becoming an art installation. And they published a book, they made a documentary about him, and now we got this movie. Oh, it's really neat.
Nice.
Yeah.
At least he came out of it on the other side.
Yeah.
A little bit better than he started.
Yeah.
So. And that's out December 21st. I think it's also Aquaman's release date.
Yeah.
So two very different movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And finally, we got our first trailer for Avengers Endgame.
Yep, here's the tale of how they undo half of what happened in the last
Just half of it.
Yeah, because
I mean, to be fair, that's pretty much... I mean, let's be fair, that's par for the course with Marvel. Just...
Yeah.
It's happening a little soon.
Yeah, people are sad about Captain America's beard being gone. That was his. Yeah. That was his loss. He lost half of his beard, half his face.
It's going to be weird. These next Marvel movies that come out with no Stan Lee cameo in them.
I think they do have these next.
Yeah,
he's next year. So
he's going to be in several more because he filmed a bunch up before he died. Yeah. And if he isn't, I mean, they can always create a digital double for him if it comes down to that, but
or just have a picture of him somewhere in the movie and make it be a Where's Waldo sort of thing.
Yeah,
it'll just be one shot, one frame of Stanley picture. Find the frame.
Flash is right there.
All right. All right. Well, I do believe we got a show, folks.
Yes, sir.
So,
I do want to say that. Remind...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What's his name is in this Hawkeye?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, hey, here's the guy you haven't seen for like 20 movies. He's back.
Yeah, he's somehow one of the ones that didn't get vaporized.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that
somehow.
Well, he had family to take care of.
All right. Well, so yeah, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you've got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you know, just anything like that, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We all have it for the show notes, including my gas. Also, also, on top of iTunes, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org. Basically, any places where podcasts like ours can be downloaded and enjoyed with your ear mouths. So, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. This has been Let's Weekend. And for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Elogi, I'd like to say goodnight. Sleep tight.